There's a light in the window, table spread in splendor, someone standing by the open door. I can see the crystal river, so I must be near forever. Lord, I've never been this homesick. See their faces all familiar. No one's old and feeble anymore. Oh, my lonesome heart is crying. I think I'll spread my wings for flying. But I've never been this homesick before.
We'll see the bright light.
I see a friend behind.
That's near to me. It's where the Savior set me free, and His Spirit came to live within my heart. To me, that place is holy ground, for it. And that that place for years, but in my mind the picture is clear. I can still remember like it was yesterday. At Little Band, the faithful few who prayed with me till I prayed through, in that place that will be ever dear to me.
Thankful for the good songs. Well, I want to say it's good to have Brother Jay with us. We'll say that again tonight, and thankful that he was willing to come and share God's word with us. I appreciate him. I love him. I appreciate his work in the ministry. As he stands before us tonight, I want to ask you to continue to pray for him, that God will take him tonight and use him for a little while to share with us the things that God has placed upon his heart. So we're going to turn the service over to him, and let's turn our attention to the Word of God.
I do desire an interest in your prayers this evening. I was sitting over there thinking, it was 32 years ago, 2 weeks ago, that I stood and preached my first sermon. I was nervous, and I was scared to death that I was going to say something in my inabilities that would deceive some lost soul. And in 32 years, I still have that same fear. Not because of anything that the scriptures say or anything that God does, but in my weak, feeble way, that I would make a mistake that could condemn a lost soul is my greatest fear. I'm not afraid to go into places that I don't know anybody and tell them about Jesus. I'm not afraid to travel to all parts of this world. I'm not afraid to leave my wife and children at home by themselves, because my God made a promise to me. But I am afraid of my inabilities, so I do desire an interest in your prayers. We will be leaving again next weekend, going back to Sundance, Wyoming. Please pray for that effort. This will be our fourth trip. The weekend following the first weekend in August, Brother Matt Clark and Brother Walter Andrews will be going to Cody, Wyoming to hold a weekend tent revival. So y'all pray for that effort too. God has amazed me at the door of opportunities that he's afforded us in that work. We have a little gathering of people there in Sundance. They are an established organization. I hesitate in calling them a church because they're not true believers. But they give us the opportunity when we come to stand and preach the gospel. They give us the opportunity to teach their Sunday school. So we take every opportunity that we can get. There is a family there, a man and his wife and two granddaughters that have been letting us on occasion come into their home and teach a Bible lesson. So, y'all pray that God will continue to open doors for us. I would ask an interest in your prayers for my oldest son. Most of you know that he left a couple of weeks ago, and he joined the Marine Corps, and he's in Parris Island, South Carolina. For the next 11 weeks, I think now. You've got 11 weeks remaining. So y'all pray for him. Tonight, my thought would be an intimate relationship. And there are a lot of different ways that we can look at an intimate relationship. If we use today's connotation of an intimate relationship, we turn to more of a worldly thought than we do anything else. But as I researched and I have looked up the word intimate, nowhere in the definitions does it mention anything of a sexual nature. The word intimate means a sharing of our innermost thoughts and desires, our fantasies, our weaknesses, our interests, our goals, and our background. A sharing of our innermost thoughts and desires and our weaknesses. There is one person on the face of this earth that I share that with. That is my wife. There is no greater relationship that I have with any man that is likened to my relationship with my wife. And if you're married, I hope and pray that your relationship with your spouse is as genuine and as whole as mine is with my wife. But that's not the kind of relationship that we want to talk about today. There is a relationship that is of a spiritual nature. In the book of Genesis, tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. And we're going to be taking our reading lesson from the second chapter, somewhere long about the the 18th verse. But God created the heavens and the earth, and He created the trees, and He caused them to come up out of the ground, and He created the fish and the animals and everything that was good, or everything that was upon the earth. God spoke it into existence. And the Bible teaches us that He took the dust of the earth and He formed man. And He breathed the breath of life into man. And He gave man dominion over the fish and over the animals and over everything that was on the face of the earth. He gave him dominion over everything. It goes on to, it tells us that He created man in His very own image. But in the 8th verse, it said this, or 18th verse, it said this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought him unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and man and his wife were not ashamed." So God made a helpmeet for Adam. And he gave him a wife so that they would have a relationship together that was close and harmonious, and they could share their innermost thoughts and desires and weaknesses and everything that was good and joyful and sorrowful, that they could share it together, and that they could grow together, and they could be together, and they could commune together, and that they could talk together. Amen. Now remember, I said this was not about a physical relationship. Now remember what happened with Adam and Eve, and how that we all know that man transgressed the law, and we're not really going to try to get into that tonight, because that's been that everyone here knows that story and knows how that Adam and Eve sinned and brought sin upon mankind. But in the 8th verse of the 3rd chapter of that of that same book, and it said, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." But can you imagine? I can't. But being in the Garden of Eden, in the midst of everything perfect and holy that God had created, and in the afternoon when the sun was setting and it was starting to cool and the shade was coming over, that God would come down and He would walk with you and He would talk with you, and that you could share a relationship with God of that nature. That is beyond our finite comprehension, to be in that happy and holy of a state and relationship with God. But I'm going to tell you that as a child of God, we can get just as close to that relationship as we can. There is an intimate relationship that we can share with God. Amen. That we can't share with mankind. They sang that song just a few moments ago. Oh, dear to me, there's a place sitting on the steps at Old Union Missionary Baptist Church, where they had poured that ramp, that wheelchair ramp, a number of years ago. But as I sat there as a 9-year-old little boy, I became intimate with my Lord and Savior. Because there was a time and a place that He touched my heart. And there is a relationship that every one of us can have with God. If you've been saved by the grace of God, then you know what I'm talking about. If you are lost and you are undone and you have not had that time and a place, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You may be married and you may have the perfect spouse for you. And you may enjoy an intimate relationship with your spouse. And you might enjoy the fruits of that. And you might be able to share your innermost thoughts and your innermost desires and your weaknesses and your fantasies with your spouse and have that type of intimate relationship. But you cannot and you will never be able to experience the joy and the comfort that comes from kneeling down in a private place and sharing your innermost thoughts and your innermost desires and your innermost weaknesses with your Lord and Savior. You cannot experience that. And you cannot understand the comfort that it brings. As I began my missionary journeys, my biggest fear was leaving my wife and kids. And just before I went to Trinidad my first time, I was laying there in bed one night and God visited me in a dream. And our house was on fire. We had just finished our house and we had just moved into it. And we were laying there in the bed and I knew that there was, they had to do a lot of wiring and stuff. And all that stuff got to weighing on my mind. And I'm sure that that was what brought it to my mind. But I was had a dream that our house was on fire. And I got out. But my wife and kids were still inside. And I couldn't get in there to save them. And as the dream progressed, God visited with me and He said, "See, I can take them if you're right next to them. Or I can protect them if you're 3,000 miles away." See, He gave, that is a relationship that I have with Him, that He knows my weaknesses. And He knows my desires. And He knows my interests. And He knows what bothers me. And He said, "I can protect them anywhere that you're at. Or I can take them if you're right next to them." So we must have a relationship with God. In the book of Solomon, it's the second chapter of the book of Solomon. And if you have not studied much of Solomon's writing, I would beg you to do that. If you like romance novels, read the book of Solomon. Because it tells us of a relationship or a romance between Solomon and his Shumite wife. But it also, if you look at it in a spiritual nature, it shows us of the relationship between Jesus Christ and His beloved church, or His bride. Now think about the relationship that you have with Jesus, if you have a relationship with Jesus. In the 10th verse of that second chapter, it says, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard over the land. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. See, as a lost person, and think about it, even as a saved individual and a child of God, my beloved spake and said, come. Brother Chris preached this morning about God, and part of his sermon, he talked about God's drawing power. God will draw you to Him if you're lost. And if our relationship with God as His children have strayed and we've wandered away and we have looked and we don't find ourselves as in close relationship to God as we should be, God will draw us back to Him. And if we're going through a rough patch or we're going through a hard time, we can look and God will draw us along and He will carry us as to where we need to be. And He says, my beloved spake and He said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the hard times are past, and if you're lost and you're undone without God, when He draws you to Him and you follow after Him and you rise and you get to where that He wants you to be, you can rise up because the winter's past when He saves your soul. But see, there's an effort right there that you have to put in. You can't just sit there and expect God to come along and just save your soul and you not do anything. I can't expect my marriage to flourish and to grow and to prosper and for my wife and I to grow closer and closer together if I don't put forth any effort. She can't expect that if she doesn't put forth that effort. I'm going to tell this, and I'll probably get in trouble after a while anyway. I come in Friday evening from work, and we'd gone in the bedroom, and I was changing clothes and putting on a little more comfortable clothes, and we got to playing and tickling and giggling and laughing. And she said, how many people that's been married almost 21 years still has this kind of fun and can play? Can you say that? My wife is my best friend, save for Jesus Christ. My wife is my best friend. She is my confidant. And as much as I love her, and as much as I cherish the relationship with her, she can't hold a candle to the relationship that I have with my God. Can you say that tonight? That you have a relationship that you cherish? Can you say that you are intimate with Jesus Christ and with the Lord God Almighty? Can you say that with true confidence? Do you understand that when my beloved, or when Jesus speaks and He says, rise up, my love, because God loves you. If you're lost and you're separated from Him, Jesus Christ loves you. God loves you. Amen. He has always loved you. Loved you. Even if you go back to the third chapter of the book of John, the most quoted verse of scripture in the Bible, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loves you. So when He says, my beloved, he said unto you, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away from the sinful world. Come away from the things that you're doing now that are contrary to my law. Come away. And enjoy a relationship with me. And if you're saved and you've strayed from God, He's calling you too. Come away. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. And the voice of the turtle is heard on the land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vine with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love. My fair one, and come away. Oh, my dove, Thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and the countenance and thy countenance is comely. There are times that I wake up at night or early in the morning and my wife is asleep beside of me. And I'll just lay there and I'll look at her. And I'll watch her sleep. And she is the most beautiful person that I've ever seen. There are a few lines on her face. Most of them I have put there. But she's still as beautiful as she was the day she walked down the aisle and she agreed to be my wife. This shows a picture of what Jesus sees when he sees his bride. It shows a picture of what we should see when we see the cross, when we see our Jesus. That's the picture that we should see. Lost person, if you are separated from God and you don't see Jesus in that light, he'll never save your soul. Whoa. If you don't see Jesus as the Savior of the world and as your beloved, he will never save your soul. You have to have a resolve that you're going to find Jesus. That means you have to be determined that when he calls you and that he draws you and you have that opportunity to seek him, that you will find him. You have to have a determination that you're not going to give up. Everything in these scriptures teaches me that my God and my Savior is not going to give up. And he's already promised in that same John 3:16, it said, for whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever will call on him. So that means he's not going to give up. But you have to be resolved to an understanding that when the opportunity arises, that you're going to find him precious to your soul. This next verse says it all. My beloved is mine. And I am his. My beloved is mine. And I am his. Angela is my wife. She belongs to me as a spouse, as a helpmate. I belong to her as a spouse and as a husband. I cannot function in this life without her in full capacity. We cannot, as children of God or as Christian people, function in a sinful world and present the gospel in a spiritual light without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You cannot. Become a child of God and get into the portals of heaven without your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You cannot expect to enjoy that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that I can enjoy. You cannot expect to be able to go to where to a place like it says, for lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in the land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You cannot expect to walk down the streets of gold. You cannot expect to see the fields of green clover. You cannot expect to drink from the river of life. You cannot expect to kneel down before your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and worship Him for an eternity. What you can expect is to be able to walk through the doors of hell and to be in an eternal flame for all eternity. What you can expect is to be able to feel the plains of where the worm dies not as it eats at your flesh. What you can expect is to be able to feel the torments and the sufferings that the rich man is feeling today. But you cannot expect or anticipate an intimate relationship with my Lord and Savior until you have a resolve that you're going to find Him precious to your soul. It has to be a resolve above all else. As my wife and I journey through this life together, we have to have a resolve that we're going to do it together. We cannot get up in the morning and decide that we're just going to do whatever that we want to do, and that we're going to do everything that our hearts desire. I know there's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of marriages that suffer for that. But I cannot expect to come home to my bride and enjoy an intimate relationship where that we can share our day's thoughts and we can share our day's struggles and we can share our desires and we can share our troubles and we can share our concerns and our worries and know that it's going to be okay because we've got each other. And that we can share them with Jesus Christ. Amen. I cannot expect that if I do whatever that this fleshly heart desires. The same goes for our relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot expect to have that type of relationship with God if we continue to follow after the fleshly desires of this heart. As God's people, we must be resolved to having an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we are determined that that's what we're going to do, and that's the kind of relationship that we're going to have, and we quit pointing fingers at all the things that are going on around us, and I know we see a lot of things in the news and there's a lot of things that are going on around us and most every one of them are terrible. Have you read the book of Kings? Have you read the book of Chronicles? The books of Chronicles and books of Kings. Have you read Jeremiah? Have you read Isaiah and the prophets and the things that were going on in those days? Do you know why that there are 400 years, there's a 400 year lapse between the last book of the Old Testament and the book of Matthew or the Gospels? Do you know why? Because mankind was so vile that God didn't come down and he didn't commune with people. The Bible teaches us that where there is no vision, the people perish. What is a vision? It's not some dream that you have. It's not some picture show that God gives you in the clouds. I guess it could be, but that's not what it is. A vision, when it says that where there is no vision, the people perish. It's talking about there's no communion with God. And there's no talking. God doesn't commune with his people. And they don't have a relationship with him. So we must be resolved as God's people to have an intimate relationship with him. And when we do that, and we portray ourselves as the Christians that he wants us to be in a world that we have to live in, and lost people see our resolve to have a relationship with God, then they want that. And they desire that. And they will seek after that. And they will have a resolve to have that relationship themselves. As we leave here tonight, let's have a mindset that we are going to be resolved to have a relationship, an intimate relationship where that we can share our desires and our thoughts and our weaknesses and our pains and our sufferings with Jesus Christ. Lost person, before you leave this place tonight, and I don't know anybody's heart other than mine tonight. So before you leave this place tonight, you be resolved that you're going to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with God, and you share your thoughts with him, and you share your desires with him, and you share your weaknesses with him, and you share your sufferings with him. And when you do that, he will save your soul. Well, we have a song. If you want to have that relationship with God, and he's drawing you to him, you find him precious to your soul.